starting the meeting now. Is there anyone else on the line? Siva, are you there? Nope, no Siva?
We'll pretend someone's there.
Well, I heard Seth join. So, Seth, are you muted?
Hi, Cheryl. Yes. Hi, Cheryl. Good morning.
I was going to say, please identify yourself, otherwise they'll think I'm crazy. I'm talking to myself as an alter ego. No, there is a voice out there called Seth. Excellent. Terrific. Okay, well, welcome one and all to the ultimate event in terms of the last one of a long week for the at-large community and the ALAC. We've traditionally, for several meetings now, held an executive committee meeting, which is normally a what do we still need to do and what do we need to allocate to people to do in the next week or 10 days. But we've blown that agenda away and we're following on business, which was well worthwhile the conversation that was coming out when we had Kevin in the FY11 budget, which he can now say is passed. So it gives a great sense of, you know, doneness. and Mandy is with us because we don't have a budget, as in at large. ALAC and at large don't have a budget. David's department have a budget and we have some vague mechanism to try and get a small piece of a shrinking cake. And so very much what happens is it ends up too hard when requests come through from the regions because nobody knows what form to fill out or who to put in what sort of line of agreements and who needs to decide on what. Mandy, being Global Partnerships, and we've had very profitable discussions with Mandy in the past about how we can use ourselves and our resources, because we're out there on the edges, on the ground, relatively capable and trustworthy, especially if you give us a script and a toolkit to follow, so we could be of use to you. And we certainly believe that would be increasing the profile of ICANN in all the right places and in all the right ways. Probably should remind you both that the at-large community, specifically the leadership of the at-large community, has brought in our short time new members to the GAC and new members to the CCNSO. But we're not just building ourselves, we are building the organisation more broadly. I need to note Barbara Clay's apologies. There's apparently some requirement to have communications people with you when you do press conferences. I don't understand it, but apparently, seeing as the board's doing press conferences, it's probably wise that she's there with them and not with us. But she does intend to have a follow-up call and meet with us. But we'll have got the money and the management talking done today. So that's always a good start. We can work out what the pretty colours are and what the words will say later. Yeah, right? Yeah. I think we all know what the message needs to be. It's just how do we actually do it. So where do we begin? Kevin?
Hello.
Hello.
I think at least someone on the phone was in the morning, so I wasn't allowed to say good afternoon, right? One thing I just wanted to make a point of clarity that I spoke to David Olive and Heidi and Matthias earlier, mm-hmm. and I think in the prior meeting on the budget I said there was an open position, and I think one of your members pointed out that it wasn't on the wasn't listed as an mm-hmm. open position. So I think they've targeted someone who is now in the consulting, so I won't spill the thunder on that, but I think it's someone who's already working with us that
move the deck chairs
from a professional services line to the personnel. So and then there's
someone we like, there's
other movements afoot that David or Heidi or mm-hmm. I don't want to, but from a budget standpoint, yes, there is slots planned for that.
In addition to us becoming to capacity?
From the framework to the draft, there was an increase in the budget. Yes. That's the point I was making the other day, and that's true too. I won't communicate more than that, other than there might be some communications about more than that were being discussed. Okay? So it's not my role to say how that might play out and how there might be extra support for at large. And then I just wanted to, and you tell me when the right time is, I wanted to explain the change that happened in the budget from the open forum from yesterday. Was a very busy day for the for finance at Doug in brokering. So I wanted to explain that process if I could. So now's a good time. Okay. So I think one of the loud and clear messages is what you just said earlier, which is we don't know where in that budget. It's longer and longer and more details. And for some reason, we weren't getting loud applauses on, gee, we've been asking for more details. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sebastian. We've been asking for more details. The community has been asking for more details on the budget. And we've been working very hard with Heidi. How much time did you spend on our budget this year? A lot, right? On drafting and the community, obviously, and drafting and adding numbers and working on templates and trying to figure out the process and synthesizing comments. So we did all this work for the budget, and we weren't getting this loud and, you know, hurrah praise for, oh, you finally heard us that we wanted needed more information. We're going to do that. We heard, oh, we see that you worked really hard, but we don't see the data that we need to have to convince us that you're doing what we want to do. Now, what's interesting, and this is the point that Doug was making, I guess he said this in the board meeting, not in the open forum, that staff was saying, well, you're not telling us what you need, right? You heard, was it Sylvia? And there was a couple of people actually in the meeting the other day. We weren't here, you know, I'm saying, well, tell me what you need. Tell me, do you need a meeting? Do you need a phone call? Do you need a consultant for 12 hours, an hour a week at X dollar? Tell me specifically what you need. And so we need a translation budget in addition to a translation cost, interpretation in the five UN languages and accounting language too. So that's kind of where we are. So I think Steve Metalitz and Avery and Marilyn voiced it more strongly for all, I think, really in that open forum. And Peter picked up on it and said, you got to broker a deal right then. You got to figure out what they need and do we need to tweak the budget at the last minute. I think Sylvia could have done it. I think Alan, I think anybody could have said the same thing as strongly in front of the open forum, and they would have come to the same conclusion that you needed to have something specific. And so the message has been, this is the way I would try it. I'll try to be as brief as I can, but it's still fresh, so it might be a little long-winded, so just take the hook out if we need to. So the message is we need more details of the budget in the way that we think. I think that's one point. In the specific situation of constituency support, which was discussed in that, which in my mind is the first one, but I think it's really a model and a paradigm for all. In the constituency support, that includes Heidi, Matthias, Glenn, in addition to registry and registrar support, those folks. I'm using people's names just because you probably know them best rather than saying meeting to room 201. But it's the same model, right, that we use for budget purposes. So we have so the constituency support was heavily edited and crafted by Tim and Craig, if that helps. So the registry support and the registrar support, they crafted that section most. So therefore, it looks like a registry and registrar support document. But it's that. But if you look at the detailed spreadsheets, it includes time for secretariat support and communication support for all groups, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, is the exercise just redraft those documents and throw the word at large in there and throw the word CCNSO and throw the... I think that's maybe something we could have done better on that. But I think the real issue is how do you identify... So there's two issues. One is, are we unfairly supported? And I think that's the message that I'm hearing. What's interesting is every single budget meeting I go to, I'm hearing there's this huge budget and this huge section of the budget, but I only get a very small amount, so the other guys or gals are getting all this budget $6. So that's one common theme I'm getting through. So if I added it all up, that means that it sounds like we're hiding money or something like that. And as you know, we're not. We're really very accountable and transparent and well audited. And so what that means is that there's all the shared resources concept, right? So everything is for everybody. And so the bottom line is, so what the broker deal was is in the late July timeframe, I am to lead an effort, and I'm starting with those three that I mentioned from the GNSO, the non-contracted side, and just because they were the most vocal and in that meeting. But I think we should do. I should have the same exercise. I know Sylvia wanted to give me her specific things, and what's his name? Tijani also wanted. He met with me this morning. He really wants to give me his list and make sure it's clear. And I know Heidi, you and Matthias will circulate that as well. So we need to get that list of what the requests are. But I think the first step is this. Number one. That we will put together in each section, particularly constituency support, we'll say what the specific things are, direct things that are in there. Now, it won't be any surprise for those of you who know ICANN's books, if constituency support is $4 million, I don't remember what it is right now, but if it's $4 million, we might find direct of $700,000. Mm-hmm. A very small portion of that is actually things that people go, oh, I know what that is. Most of it, I'm not talking about people, but very specific things. Registrar data escrow is $450,000. Those kinds of things. There's a relatively small amount of those. Most of it is a shared resource concept. So the first thing we'll do is put those direct things, and we'll put them explicitly there. We'll probably post them on the website for everybody to see what the specific things. The second thing is we'll then say, here's a process, a form, or I liked your idea of having a requisition form saying, we want X. We want X meeting, we want X travel support, we want X consultant, we want a bridge, we want extra translations, and whatever thing that translates into a requisition. Not just we want equitable and fair, we want to translate the comments that are coming in from we want equitable treatment and fairness and acknowledgement of fill in the blank, in their case, NCUC or IPC or I'm forgetting the BC, right? What's BC called?
Business constituents.
No, they have a new name.
Non-contracted user house.
User house, but they're anyway. Whatever they're, I call it the BC. So they, they're Maryland's group. So they sorry,
It's better than Philip.
Better business constituency.
So the business constituency. So they'll come in with specific things that identify. My expectation is, and this wasn't in part of the resolution and part of that discussion that happened last night, but my expectation is that they will that should be open to all. That all groups would have the same thing. So if you need a Arelo meeting, or if you need an extra set of conference calls, or you need to have a fact-based study that is X, you would put that in there. So the thought is, well, that's great for FY12, but what about FY11, right? So the thought is that we'll initiate this by the end of July, early August. Mm-hmm. We'll post that. We'll have that available. Will we be able to increase the budget and have all the things that we want that you all want? No.
Not unless we start printing it.
Not. Yeah, I thought about that, but we won't be able to do that. But I believe that most of the requests are really small, efficient type things, meaning labor allocation. Maybe there's more labor in different groups, or it could be just a little travel support for one meeting or a little outreach. Or I'm not hearing loud cries of, gee, I need to have, 20 more people or 10 more people. Mm-hmm. So it seems like we'll see the requests, and then we'll process that, and I have a feeling within that range we'll be able to prioritize it. You want to jump in or? Oh, of course, yeah. I think there's three or four points, so I got through two.
But in addition to that requisition, in addition to that requisition list, is there also going to be a process set out as well as an element of redress of what, how, let's say there is, you know, you turn it down, can the community member then come back? Will there be a set out process spelled out?
Will the process be set out? That's what you're saying. Yeah. So let me, like I said, this is still, I actually have not written this. I've just heard it, right? So, and kind of participated in the discussion. So I think step one, we put up the list of things that are sort of direct costs that people go, oh, I know what that is. That's a study. Oh, I know what that is. That's a meeting. Oh, I know what that is. And that's for me, right? Something that's specific for me. Not an ICANN meeting. You already know that. That's in the budget. But a special meeting that's targeted for my group, right? So that's one. Two is we'll have a form or a process, a form and a process that would say we want to have, we want to, your question or? Okay. Then we'll have, the second thing is we'll have, a requisition form that would say if you want to have X, a specific project, then we will, then that will be submitted for requisite, for consideration. At that time, we're obviously going to approve very, very quickly. We'll approve of items that have no budget issues. You know, if there's someone, there's many, many suggestions in the list that are that had no real significant budget impact. So what we did was, if you looked at my comments in Section C, it said something like submitted to or passed on to executive or board for consideration, right? So if it was reallocate Heidi's time from this meeting to that meeting or something like that, that's not a budget issue, that's just an allocation. If there's a budget issue, we'll have some sort of discussion. Obviously, if there's 100 suggestions like that, then it's going to have a budget impact and we'll have to reconsider that. So that's two, I think. Then three, and this is the part that this will be a learning process. This one and two will be a learning process. And three, we will then be set up for FY12 in a much, much more constructive and powerful way. Did I lose you?
No, you haven't
okay.
lost me.
Okay. So, and here's the reason why. So the number three is setting us up for FY12, mm-hmm. the budget development process, where we will talk with the SOs and ACs and their subgroups or whatever members we, and that's to be determined who those are, and reach out to them and say September and say, we want you to be in our budget information process. And then you're involved in September, and then hopefully by Cartagena, the process will be much more evolved. Instead of waiting till March so that you can respond to a framework. So I know that was sort of long-winded. I probably could have succinctly said that in about 3 minutes if I it was tighter. But anyway, hopefully you get the general gist of where it's heading.
Well, with that introduction, I think it's important that we give the community and anyone on the line an opportunity to clarify or make sure they understand exactly what you're talking about. So first of all, to open the floor, has anyone got any questions or clarifications that we'd like to explore now? Go ahead. Thank you, Alan.
I guess I can't tell you how delighted I am that essentially what we're talking about here is a view of the budget with the categories that are meaningful to the support organization or the AC. And although I'm not predicting it will happen, we may well find there are items there that when we see the price of it, we may decide that's not our priority. You know, we may decide that, you know, simultaneous interpretation on some level of conference calls is not worth the $10,000, but we would prefer to do that. Use that for regional assemblies to use an a thought that we've never had before. I'm not predicting that, but that's an example of what may well happen. So I look forward to that. I reacted very negatively to one thing you said. You said, in reference to the registrar's constituency, that the the capturing of data of the registrar data you know, and sending it off to Iron Mountain. Sorry, I've just lost the word.
The escrow.
Thank you. I would not consider that a registrar constituency support item. I would consider that part of our core business that we're in. So I would worry if that's part of the $4 million that are deemed to be registrar, registry, or GNSO support. I mean, the GNSO could be abolished tomorrow, and you still have to do that. So I worry about, you know, maybe we'll learn something in these categories. So that's one kind of thing. The other thing, going back to what Avery and Marilyn were asking for.
I need a pen because I want to remember all your thoughts. Sorry.
Wow. Somebody give up their dog.
If I could get the pen out of my pocket, I would.
Paper he needs.
Here. Kathy, we are truly in an internet environment. No one has a piece of paper.
I don't think anyone denies that there are costs in running the GNSO that are shared among the constituencies and should be apportioned to them. The comment about equitable, or I gather initially in the discussion it was equal treatment, is that there be some level of allocation that is available for each of the constituents, your stakeholder group or advisory committees, to use with a little bit of discretion, or at least to fund their own secretariat or whatever it is. And I think what the user house saw in the budget presentation is that, yes, there were GNSO things, but it was divided in two categories. General GNSO support, which is shared among all of us. Glenn supports everyone, or the policy staff, and registrar registry activities. Right. And that there were no things identified as activities for the other stakeholder groups, and that's where the eyes bugged out and said, is this fair? Now, ultimately, it's not clear that, you know, the non-commercial stakeholder groups wants a tutorial on inter-registrar transfer, and, you know, some of these items may not be applicable, but you want to be able to break it down and understand and be seeing that you're getting at least a little slice of the pie for your own use as opposed to the general good of the GNSO community or something else.
Right. Just to respond to a couple of them, and I think I'm only going to get two of them right now. One is, we said you want to see that list so you can see if it's worth it. So I want to be clear that this is not a staff is going to develop another list of items that would be considered. The idea is that the community, in this case, what's communicated is that constituency support, the community would see what's there and first of all realize that it's a very small list that's targeted. Most things are general, and we'll probably describe some of the general ones. But so most of them would be very, very few would be targeted. But the community would propose items as opposed to here's a menu list of items. Next year that might change, but this I'm talking about for FY11, you'd say, hey, I want to have a regional assembly at Cardena or in the February meeting or whatever, and here's how much it's going to cost and what do you think about that. So that's one. Does that make sense? So we have to be careful that I'm not setting myself up for delivering a menu of items that you'd be considering. Yeah. It's rather a process by which we would consider. Thank you, Alan. You can finish my sentences. You usually do, right? you would provide a process to ask for things so that they can be considered and reviewed and ultimately decided on whether we implement.
Sorry, I thought there was a question mark and a pause before. I think what we're looking for, and you're coming pretty close to describing it, is equivalent to what happened with the GNSO in this fiscal budget. That is, they know they're going to have to do a bunch of studies or similar things. 400,000, I believe, was the final number, I'm not sure, was allocated. And they will then have the ability, in conjunction with staff, in deciding what is the right use of that money, knowing that there is a ceiling, it's not unlimited, they don't have to spend it, but if there are appropriate things, that they try to prioritize them. And we're looking for a similar thing. We can then debate if $400,000 or $22 is the right amount. And we can then have the debate of how do we do value judgments on should the money be spent on any given particular item. But we shouldn't have to be going into the whole budget process because, to use an example that was raised at one of our early meetings, we need another 50 copies of a brochure printed out for a regional meeting. And we literally spent 10 minutes this meeting because there were only 15 copies of a Spanish brochure printed out and they were planning to have a meeting with 30 people at it. That's not what any of us should be wasting our time on.
Right.
And of course, some of the numbers will be bigger, but that's the kind of thing you waste time on if there's no process.
Right. Okay, good. And then the second thing I wanted to, when you mentioned about the registrar data escrow. So we use the term RDE, registrar data escrow. So when that gets translated into a document, it looks like registrar, it gets a tag to a registrar constituency, right? Therefore, it should be talked in here. And as you point out, it should be talked about in every single meeting that's registered. That's probably should be, I don't know, maybe the at large was the author of that concept. So that's a really, really, that's an ICANN thing. That is not a registration issue.
Well, you can read this as there is a risk of the business of them. They contribute with saying, part of this money will to reduce their risk. So it's a registrar issue. A registrar issue. So it's a budget for them. I can read easily in that way. You know, we have a business here, and in our group, there is a huge risk in some place. So we got this part of the money I put in the ICANN to reserve for reduce our risk in front of the population, in front of our clients in general. So becomes a registrar budget.
Yeah, so let me make sure I understand. So it's in the registrar budget. It's in a registrar, in the ICANN accounting world, it's in the registrar. Tim Cole and his group manages that budget. But I would argue, and it's in the constituency support part of the budget, and it says registrar, but maybe we should call it data escrow. That's what I was making the point, and the point that was made last night. That really is a benefit. It's not for the registrars that we're forcing them to do data escrow. It's for the protection of the internet, and it's for the registrant. It's for the registrants, right?
This is getting into an area that I feel moderately strongly about. Data escrow is a registrar issue, and I don't mind it being listed as such in a budget, but it's not a registrar constituency issue. Right. The registrar constituency can have a vote and say, we trust you other guys. We do not need to be involved in policy discussions at all. We turn back the travel budget you are giving us. We're not showing up at meetings anymore. You still have a data escrow issue. You still have to pay Tim Cole to manage the process of dealing with registrars, even if the registrar constituency turns in their gold cards.
Right.
So I, in my mind, there's a big difference between the registrar constituency and a registrar issue, which is one of the core businesses we're in now.
So that leads to my next point, which is it is really hard. It's very, very challenging from an accounting and bookkeeping and budgeting standpoint to characterize these in a way that lands well with any group.
Everyone.
And to say with everyone is almost incomprehensible. I just wanted to communicate that. So we are going to make a step that was negotiated last night to address the issue of the perception that because of the way we wrote it and used the word registrar in that section. To address that, we're going to show what things that we think are for a specific group that are for registrars that are for registries, and then you'll see $4 million, $800,000, or whatever it is that's associated with the specific things, I think it's inevitable you're going to ask the question, well, what's the rest of the money being spent on? And then we'll get into the cost accounting and other areas that will be of interest. So that's one thing. So I really am saying that not because I think it's hard, but I do. I'm saying that to set the expectations that when, I forget her name, from GoDaddy spoke and said, where's my line item budget? If if we go into detail for a section, you're not going to have a bunch of line items and then pick a menu of items. It just won't work that way unless you think the way we're currently thinking. So that leads to my next point, which is how do we present the budget? Right? Several years ago, when I started, we had an accounting budget. So we think in terms of departments and cost codes, travel, meetings, things like that. Then we decided, the board, finance committee, and others decided we need to think like a functional, we need to think new GTLDs, contractual compliance, that sort of thing, right? So we started doing functional budgets, and that's what we're really talking about. Last year, there was a huge outcry that we needed, particularly related to G's versus C's, but it was an ALAC as well. We needed to have a customer-oriented budget, and I use the word customer in italics because there aren't customers, but constituents. So we had to come up with a way. So we used the organizational structure of ICANN on the second, almost front page of the website, and we came up with the G's, C's, the ALAC, SAC, RSAC, the org chart, and we allocated the resources. We showed a view of that. It was not a line item budget within those items. It was a reformulated, reconstituted budget to show that way. So I think there's another challenge that will happen, which is some people want to see how much money we spend on, say, the new GTLDs, or on security, and other people want to know how much we spend our budget on ALAC and SAC. Do you see the challenge we have? It's a matrix organization. So I don't want to make everybody a cost accounting PhD. I'd love it if they did, but I can't. I know that's not realistic. So I have that challenge in a bottom-up state. Not, it's easy to do a matrix organization when you own the company and you have a CEO a hierarchical structure. We're not. We're bottom-up. Mm-hmm. So if people come in on one of those one element of that matrix, and then another one comes on the other element of the matrix, we have an inherent disconnect. So I'm pointing out those two problems, and that's the challenge that our accounting department has every day as we try to come up with these reports. We're able to now show those views, so at least the dialogue is there and the discussions are there. And we'll make progress on that. But I wanted to share my pain and our pain, the finance department's pain, in that process in the hopes that maybe we'll come up with an organizational structure. I've heard that our management structure will be held accountable to reconcile this. So I'm very optimistic that it will happen in the next year or two. And I think your input and wise input into that will really help in that process. So just wanted to share that. Those are my kind of thoughts I had coming in. I wanted to share those. Okay.
Thanks. Thank you, Kevin. I dragged up a piece of history because I'd like to sort of look at beyond the analysis that we all need so that we can all work out what's in, what's out, and how much we need to share. We had a mention of a process. 2007 in June was when the at-large advisory committee's finance and budget subcommittee proposed to the department that we are a needful child of a mechanism by which the regions and the at-large structures could, in a fair, equitable and global way, sort out their requirements in a projection that could fit in to a budget in any given year. Now, that's ancient history, but what I'm saying is we've been desirous of having a structure that says to the ALSs early on in the fiscal development year to plug into bigger budgets, each region would like the following. They know they can't have it all in one year because that won't work. So they've worked out this run order.
Right.
Or they've worked out that what they would like is to have a figure, fill in dotted line here, that allows them to send leadership to regional and local IGFs or meetings that are meaningful in global partnerships criteria for ICANN to be present at. That type of thing, where we've got shared aims, shared benefits, and shared knowledge of the fact that you can say, Mr. Jones, you're in Kazakhstan, we're having a meeting in Kazakhstan, could you go and represent your ALS? And we can at least put them up in a hotel room. To speak on behalf of Tijani, which I promised him I would, we have the African region and his particular grouping with an already accepted, green-tagged workshop for Vilnius, for the IGF. Now, this is Global Partnerships business to deal with IGF, but you don't even know about it. I'm quite sure you don't know that there's another part of ICANN that, well, we believe we're another part of ICANN, that's putting stuff in to things you're already involved with. We've got to start finding a mechanism, not just a dashboard to share reporting, but a place to share planning, a place to say who's doing what and what our particular priorities are. Our priorities are outreach and inreach. And when you talk about regional general assemblies and those sorts of things, and there the children have to fight it out and work out who goes first and who goes third in the line, that's okay, we can do that. Right? But there's the inreach part, which that's all about, and coming to these meetings is part of the inreach. The outreach is twofold. It's to expand as we need to. If we are going to be globally representative, we do need, in our totally biased view, to have one at-large structure per country. We don't really need, is it 8 or 9 in Germany? It's a huge number of at-large structures in Germany. Yeah, I mean, and that's fine and that's great, but I'm less concerned about getting double figures in countries than I am just one in most countries, particularly in the emerging economies and developing worlds. And to do that, you have to grow it by sending someone, very much like NOMCOM. So if there was a TLD meeting, if there was a NIC meeting, if there was another useful meeting in the internet ecosystem going on, that's the time that they might be able to spend 2 days and go there. But we don't want to fly them from Brussels to the middle of Asia. We want to get them from Hong Kong to somewhere close. But until we've got a shared space, which is why I was keen to have Mandy here, then we can't even start guessing on what the dollar amount. I mean, you know how much, pretty much by formula, it costs to send person A from here to here. We can do that budgeting, we can fill out that paperwork, but can we get to the point where there's sufficient self-determination at the regional level or at the ALAC level, don't particularly care, but at some level where they know at any given year they can make a request and be fairly confident that they've got an allocation of up to fill in a dotted line for these agreed activities. Now, it doesn't mean that you can go off to do things that don't go through approval. It doesn't mean that you go off to... Yeah, but it gives some sense of assurity. So the Tijanis of the world don't work hard, get to somewhere, get accepted, and then aren't even able to get covered to do the presentation when all he's trying to do is make us look good. Go ahead.
So, thank you, Cheryl. So, the challenge that's great. That all makes 100% sense. So, the challenge is what's the structure? Mm-hmm. What's the organizational structure? We do not have a vice president of at large. I know.
We've got a director of one.
We don't.
No, but we have a director.
I mean, we don't have a budget center called
right.
At large.
It's under David.
We have a policy department, and we have a IT department, mm-hmm. and we have a finance department. I'm trying to think who else. We have a meetings team. These are all, you know. So for you to understand the way our current structure works, it would require you to understand 25 departments.
Mm-hmm.
and say, gee, I'd like to request a meeting. Okay, that means I need to go to Stacy and Nick and people like that. And by the way, I need food for there, so I'm going to have to ask Steve because he's got the admin person that has the catering. And I need to go to, you know, I got to go on and on, explain that. And so we're not organized the way that as you as a leader. And the reason why we're not, there's a history, I'm sure you who've been around a lot longer than I have know that, is because the idea was, Teresa actually was, she was really, it's kind of the germ for the whole EAG reporting, that opening treatise, you know, is that it's all one, just like the internet, right? It's all one. So to try to become a pay-for-service type thing is a mistake. It's heading down the wrong road. I sense that ICANN is coming to the place where it'll head that way. But I don't know. It's hard to say. And whether it's organized by ALAC, ESAC, RSAC, the way the organizational structure is now, or whether it's organized by key activities, security, contractual compliance, the way our functional reporting is, or some other organizational structure, or some mixture of that, I don't know. And that's the part, from an accounting standpoint, my goal is to reflect the organization. So to the extent that we screw up, it's because we're pretty good at following the organization. The organizational structure is challenged. And so it's a very challenging thing, and so we're you know, the rubber meets the road with accounting, and so I really like your idea of having a requisition and it gets approved and compared to a budget, but until you have a leader of that or a department of that, it won't happen. You could go to Heidi right now and say, can I get money for travel support for or David. I guess you could give it to Heidi and Matthias, and they would bring it to Dave to give travel support. We're going to give X, and she may or may, it might be in her budget, and it might not be in her budget in that department, and you could still do that. But I'm rambling.
You are rambling, but that's partly the point. We could do that, but the facts are Heidi doesn't have a budget.
Right, David does.
David has a budget. Heidi does not have a budget. David's budget includes Heidi and the team.
Right.
So we need to start fresh, and I think we should do it from a shared knowledge, shared resources, shared opportunity point of view. And at the moment, the best fit we see with what we want to do, and I believe you'll find business constituency will be wanting to do this too. I think other parts of ICANN will be wanting to do this too, because they're looking at outreach and in-reach opportunities. Right? They want to get people to come to NomCom appointments. They want to do various things. It doesn't matter whether you're me or Marilyn. There's sort of a theme of what the end game is trying to be. And the natural fit is with global partnerships at this stage. We are more likely to be wanting to do similar things in the same places, but we have no mechanism of talking to each other, which is a little bit scary. Just before I go to you, yep, and then I'll go to you. But I really want.
This is a really quick question.
Okay.
This is wonderful. Do you have the list?
Every single year, we have produced the list, and it goes to Heidi, and then it goes to whatever black hole. Apparently, doesn't actually get to him. He keeps plausible deniability. I've had plausible deniability from this man year in and year out since I've met him that he's never seen any of these requests. So I'm assuming...
Prioritise list, I want to
see
it.
There is a black box. Yes, there's a black box somewhere because the regions give it to us,
really, so
we prioritise it, it goes up through Heidi. Now, I doubt she's eating it. So if it's not getting to you... In the black box, the magic happens. We can give it to you. It's not a problem.
Just for yucks, can you project like the recent one? Just a spreadsheet. Yeah.
And what you hear from the frustration in my voice, which is only partially feigned, is to echo what I hear again and again and again from the ALSs and the regions, because they've given us this every year. You know, Asia Pacific has said AP Star is an identified thing that we would benefit by going to, and we can't get $5,000 to send someone to AP Star ever. So we've done the costings, we've put it up there. Right, let's have a look.
So that's an example.
Okay, just for the record, and Seth, if you want to prepare yourself, the next hot potato after I give to Alan and then Mandy the opportunity to discuss what we're looking at now, I was going to see whether we could go into the dim, dark, wonderful world of budget allocation for the at-large improvements, and I think it's important that Kevin have a look at how we've limited our expectations of costs, so you might want to prepare yourself to talk to that. So you're having a look at that. Would you like to tell people what you're looking at, or shall I?
You should.
I should, okay. On the screen at the moment, we've got the FY 2010-2011 AP RALO budget requests. We've got exactly what the costs would be. We have exactly what the project is. We have presentations to back it up. And that is an absolute example. Well, for example, iNet Asia in Hong Kong, if you scroll down, you would see regional IGFs and various things. Keep scrolling down. We have the same thing from URALO. Keep scrolling down. You've got the same thing from LACRALO. Keep scrolling down. You've got the same thing from NARALO. Keep scrolling down. You know, are we getting to be a bit repetitious here?
Yeah,
and to that end, that then is subject to community agreement, and the regional leaders decide, because they know there's only this much tiny possibility of cake, what the priorities are. And this year, they were saying in a rotation, a general assembly of their region in the place that an ICANN meeting is. So it's the cheapest travel and most likely. We figured that was actually cost-effective and fairly intelligent.
So is this... This is a... I think I have seen this before. So this is not a spreadsheet that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in priority.
No.
That's what I thought I saw on the prior slide. I thought you were going to say... I understand there's much lot of these types of things, and I love the fact you have a... This is Nick's input, too, I can tell.
What we should point out is, as a result of our early attempts in 2007... We were told that... Actually, now you can pull up the letter from Denise. We were told that there was no place for us in any of these decisions.
Right.
It was not our right or our responsibility. Staff has fiduciary responsibility, and we should and could not even prioritise. So if we've had a change of faith and we've had a change of direction, and I believe we have... then now is the time, in an post-AOC environment, where there's very good reasons to engage with public and get public trust and get public involvement, and we're a way of doing that.
I want to see this.
Right?
This is fun.
So...
For those who like...
Actually, it might even be the next one down. This is the first letter to us. Yeah, it's the next one down. So go down to the bottom of the page, Matthias. Scroll down. Right. Email in response to the minutes. There we go. That's the one.
What's SC?
Subcommittee.
That's your term or that's...
That's our term.
Okay.
Okay. So this is what we get back. Dear committee members, thank you for your interest, you nuisance little individuals that you are. It's worth reiterating, chapter and verse, you foolish children. Proposed ICANN budget developed by blah yadi yadi would be posted on the budget will be. I would also reiterate the fundamental point that ICANN's budget is managed and all expenditure made by ICANN staff. It is staff's responsibility to manage funds in a manner that is consistent with ICANN's requirements and processes.
Okay, so good.
And consequently, what it means is... And you can read all of that with perhaps less vehemence than she got in my voice even then, was that we do not have a place in making prioritisations. We would be delighted to prioritise for you.
Can we get number three on the screen?
Go down to number three. Oh, yes. Yes, this is good. Here we go. It is not in keeping with ICANN's bottom-up approach for the ALAC to attempt to centralise and make decisions about whether or not approve a budget or expenditure proposal from an at-large region.
Staff welcomes all input on developing the budget, and a staff process is in place. We would like to see that, to address at-large spending requests. These proposals of... Yeah.
Can I respond? So the challenge whenever you have this, and this fiduciary responsibility is really important. I get that all the time where we say, just give us a bucket of money and we'll figure out what to do with it best.
And we have never said that.
I know you've never said that, but that's been it. Maybe I'm showing my lack of political skills here by direct speak. But I want to make it really clear. This is very synchronistic, isn't it, that we're sharing a microphone? this fiduciary responsibility is a really important concept, right? So there is a black box aspect to the budget development process to date, okay? And it's reached a feverish pitch of upsetness at that. And that's the reason why we had that last-minute brokering and finally decided with this 1-2-3 step that I mentioned about the July commitment, August commitment, and most importantly for FY12. So we'll do that. The thing that does concern me about this, and you know, I obviously didn't review this. I'm not sure. Was this last year?
No.
So before me or 2000?
As you came on board.
As I came on board. Okay, good. So the point about it seems to be saying we're not interested in your prioritizing.
That's right.
That's a concern of mine, and that's what I'm saying from the first thing. I'm saying you give me millions and millions of dollars of requests. Great, I heard that. I commented on it. Noted. No. That's what I have to say, right? Mm-hmm. But if you say here's millions and millions of dollars of requests. The first one is $5,000. The second one is $8,000. The third one is $240,000. If I can do that, then that's really helpful. Now, here's the point that's a little tricky. Right now, I can't unless there's a fundamental change, and it might be happened very quickly. I don't know. We can't, and I'm speaking to a board member here. Tell me if I'm speaking out of turn. That. We can't hand that over, that prioritization process, either. We can take that input into the process, but we can't just say we're going to allocate the money in accordance with a priority system that comes into us. It's an influencer. Here it says you're not even allowed to think about prioritization. That's not good. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it should step – it's a progress up to what Chuck is saying, I want to be a department head, or Steve Crocker is saying, I want to be a department head. Give me my budget. I know how to manage a budget and all that. Well, then the question is, did you fill out a non-disclosure as a staff? Did you? What happens if you're over budget? What happens if the other budget is over budget and you have all the staff type management of budget stuff that happens? Are we ready to have the SOs and ACs enter that world? And the model of ICANN is you're supposed to not worry about that. Your advisory groups, you come floating in, you develop some policy, you do that process. But now the money has become front and center. So that's the challenge we have. I think the plan that Doug has really authored, which is this 1-2-3 step that I'm doing about, is to lance it by showing that the number of specific requests are not so great. But it might be opening up a can of worms that we're going to have to reorganize, and the SOs are going to be division heads. And we'll actually have, you know, and we're gonna put you in a big room with all those people in this morning at 8:30, and say, okay, you duke it out and you tell us how you're gonna allocate the resources.
Whoever's playing with the screen, I'm going to want to go back to that letter when I talk.
Thank you. Sorry.
Thanks for that. Now on the speaking order, I've got an order. I've got an order. I got Alan. Did you want to say? Do you want to say something now? Or are you just busy scribing? Okay.
I've got
Alan, I think I've got Mandy, then I've got Sebastian, then I've got Vanda. Okay? Sorry? Oh, and Elisa, were you before or after Sebastian? I saw Sebastian in the room. Before Alan. You see? Alan, you've had a turn. Do you want to cede it to Anna? Thank you, Annalisa.
I'm
not ceding it, but I'm let her go first.
Okay.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Alan. I have a couple of questions. So how is this a once a year budgetary thing on your end, where the input should come in by a certain date, and it would be for the whole year? In other words, if the input came in from ALAC?
No.
Oh, so how many times a year?
So this policy, this new program in which we would take specific requests from the community, and it was focusing on this non, tell me, how do you describe all three of the groups? Non-commercial stakeholders group? All three?
No. The non-commercial users.
Non-commercial users group, thank you. which feverishly rose from that, where the board said you got to come up with some, you know, way to get the budget passed, otherwise there's a risk of it not passing. So the plan from that is to come up with, we'll make a list, and we'll have some sort of process where we accept the list. And that's by August. No discussion on whether that would be an ongoing thing or whether that would be part of it, but the process, we would learn from it, and then it would influence the FY12.
Okay, so I guess my follow-up comment would be that that has to be synchronized down to our level so that these requests come in the right order, and then the other, they come in at the right time, but the other aspect is if we prioritize them, they're prioritized by ALAC's priority, and then they're going to arrive to you, and suddenly those priorities really don't count anymore, and then you guys have a whole new set of priorities because you have other organizations that are also submitting stuff.
Yeah, so that's the part I'm trying to say is, I think it's very important. I don't think Heidi, I'm speaking for her, I don't think Heidi or David, if he's making the decision on the prioritization, would not want your input. I think they want your input. It's very important. The distinction I was trying to make, and I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn here, is who makes the decision? Is it a staff decision? And then they're deciding between the different pressures that they have on our side. But I would be shocked if David didn't say, I want to know your priorities. I want to know, is Asia more important than Africa, or is it a regional meeting is more important than an ICANN meeting? And they want to know, I think we all want to know what you think your priorities are. The question is who's deciding and who's making the ramification, what happens to the variant, all those budget, you know, staff type things.
I'm sorry, I know there's other people, but the I guess the issue is, but once we determine what the priorities are, or we work in sync and everybody agrees on how to decide it, once it gets to your department and you're taking input and requests from other parts of ICANN, you guys have to set new priorities. So somehow there has to be an internal little space waiting that ALAC's going to get something. Like there has to be, you guys have to be expecting to give something to ALAC. And that should be a priority.
You're talking about a return
in your department.
I need to understand your question. Are you talking about the return, or are you talking about
the budgeting? The budgeting. If we're requesting budgeting,
yeah, right. You're talking about the new process that we're talking about. Yeah,
yeah.
It's open.
So ideally,
I have to create it.
Okay, you're.
We have
creating,
to create.
Yeah.
We're not going to create the. That's I'm tasked with creating it. This is a new.
So ideally, you just kind of have spaces anticipating that there's going to be requests from these groups.
Yeah, up to date, I send David. I send, you know, this last year I sent Denise, and it's sort of there was a transition issue that we had with David, from Denise to David, but up to now I asked David. I don't know how he got it, or Denise. I had no idea. This is interesting to me, and if I had known this, I would have gone, Denise, have you checked with your folks, you know, your groups that you're supporting to see if you've landed right on their priorities? Or you just, I guess she would say, oh, of course, yeah, I would do that, but I'm interested. But this new process is bypassing the current process. So I have to be careful that I don't upset the, you know, structures that we have internally. What am I going to do if ALAC comes in with a high priority request and David says, I don't have budget for it? I have a very challenging challenge. So the point is just incremental steps. Tell you what we currently have that you've identified for ALAC, for NCUC, NCU, non-commercial users group, NCUG.
What you're talking about is the non-commercial, the house.
The house.
I really tire of an advisory committee to the board being equated with a subset of a subset constituency of the GNSO.
Right.
Can we get that flow chart straight in everybody's minds?
That's even greater challenge. And I can imagine if if one of your ALSs in Argentina came in and said, "Oh, Cheryl's not prioritizing this right," do I have to? Is that now? Do I have a responsibility?
Mike,
this is part of the problem we have with this. It would never get to that stage because it came up through the ranks to ALAC. Okay. It rises from the bottom up.
Ellen, go ahead.
Okay, a couple of things.
Rising down.
So doesn't that raise it to Chuck?
Yes. The way to check is at ALAC.
No, to Chuck Tom.
No, we don't go.
For the transcript, the off-microphone conversation is comparing the ALAC percolation proposal of information and prioritisation with that of the GNSO.
Just for the record, in the GNSO, the chair is essentially is not going to take decisions on behalf of any of the constituencies. It is either decided by the group as a whole or it doesn't get decided, with very few exceptions. Okay, a couple of things. We were talking about, Cheryl was saying, you know, she feels that we belong more with global partnerships than somewhere else. I'll give a slightly different view. I don't really care if we are under the overall umbrella of global partnerships or policy. No matter which one we're in, we are going to need to work closely in the other one, and the budgets will commingle. Tough. Life is hard. So which one we live in and which one we visit, you know, it may be easier one way or another, but they are going to commingle. You know, as we were talking with David all this week, we are occasionally going to need policy staff who will help us on writing real policy, which is not Global Partnerships' job. And if we're under policy staff, we'll occasionally want to send someone to an IGF, and it will fit well under Global Partnerships. Life is not going to be completely easy. In terms of the frustration that you clearly hear in our voices, certainly those of us who have been around a while, this kind of memo, although it's long ancient history, shows you a little bit of it. If you look at number three, recognize that especially at that point, although to some extent now, ALAC is about as peripheral in ICANN as you could have gotten. You know, we're around the edges, we're a noisy critter that best go away, but we're not quite going away yet. Let me finish. So the concept that ALAC is trying to centralize something, can you think of anything more centralized than the ICANN staff? And that sentence just doesn't parse. And is trying to say ALAC, which is the noise around the periphery, is trying to centralize a responsibility where instead, according to ICANN's bottom up, it should be part of the staff responsibility. So if you sense a bit of frustration, you see one example of it, and it's not the only one.
It doesn't matter. It was personal. That was a subcourt. So leave it alone.
Now, I do. You agree that the third line of that said, once again, I want to reiterate that the ALAC's input, as well as that of broader at-large community, and in particular the RALO leadership, is welcomed and will be very carefully reviewed and considered. Mm-hmm. So that's counter.
Okay.
But the point is.
Let's not try to parse Denise's memo any more than to say it generated a lot of frustration. Okay, in terms of fiduciary responsibility, if you ask me, would I like you to give me a pile of money, an American Express credit card in ICANN's name that I can sign for in any way I want? Yep, I do want that. Do I expect you to give it to me? No. So I could agree with Steve Crocker, but I am quite happy to let the ultimate fiduciary discretion and decision-making be done by an ICANN staff member who at least talks to us. Okay. And that's all we've ever, ever, ever asked for. Just like the GNSO has $400,000, Chuck Gomes is not going to sign the check. Chuck Gomes' signature is not going to allow counting to cut a check on ICANN's behalf. It's going to be policy staff in conjunction with decisions made by the community. Again, that's all we're asking. Would it nice to have an unlimited credit card in ICANN's name? Yeah, I want it. I want to be the first. Okay. No, no, she wants to be the first. Okay. We'll get one for each of us. Okay. The last point is, I understand why the issues that we prioritize may not be fundable. I do not understand why, again, and there may be specific cases in any given case that we're asking for something really stupid, that if we give you a prioritized list with values on it, you decide what envelope you want to fund. Oh, thank you. You decide what envelope you want to fund. But why would you not, assuming the envelope is bigger than the first item, you win. He's going to give us each half of an American Express card. Would you like a pair of scissors?
Yes, I would, actually.
Since you've already destroyed it, I'll make life slightly easier for
my card
you.
Okay.
I'll just finish this then. If we've prioritized four items and none of them are above the overall envelope, why would you not accept our first one unless it was something really, really stupid, and we are capable of doing that, I know. But you know, I can understand why you want to set the envelope, but why would you reject the prioritization as long as it's within the envelope? And I'm just curious. I don't understand that logic.
Why would we? If you came up with the first priority to, you know, add a credit line to the credit card, I'm going to officially give you my expired credit card to emphasize your point. No, so yeah, I can see why. I can see situations where a splinter group, if put it this way, if I listen to every single comment made on the budget, and with people that speak, even some of the people that speak very, very strongly and loudly. I don't think it's the community would appreciate that, would consider that. Now, I'm not saying that ALAC would come up with extraneous comments and suggestions and do that. And I would guess that you're all very dedicated, and as Nao Masa, I think his name is, said that you're all so full of heart as a volunteer spirit. So my guess is you're going to make suggestions on that. So the answer question, I could game theory and come up with an answer why it wouldn't be treated as high priority. But at the very minimum, as Denise's number one email said, it should be considered and carefully reviewed.
Yes, just as a quick follow-on, I can imagine why we are requesting something which is deemed to be out of scope completely and not fundable. I question if we're likely to get a lot of those items if they've been arrived at in conjunction with staff. But, you know, if we put something number one that our staff support whispers in your ear is really stupid and out of scope and is dangerous, you're quite within grounds to not fund it. Right. But I don't think those are going to be the norm.
All right. I just want to give it to Mandy because she has a particular response back to one of Alan's points. And then it's to you, Sebastian.
Excuse me. Actually, what Alan was talking about, where there are some activities that are going to fit under the purview of one department versus the other, is actually following along the accounting, the way the budget is being presented to the community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Kevin has identified the ball of wax that is global engagement. Well, global engagement covers a variety of things, and he's identified. So, in many ways, what you're talking about follows along with what the way that finance has been trying to present the information. I also think that this new discussion of a mechanism for trying to capture, because to be honest, what is happening now is we have the demands of the constituencies as understood by the departments because of the strategic planning process, which the community engages in, and the staff is tasked with operationalizing that. And within the budgetary process, I don't think I'm talking out of turn here, Kevin, We have to sit there, and each of the departments is saying, but we've had this amount of work that's been identified, and we know what that costs, and we know how much the demands we had last year, and we're being told, but guess what? The budget does not encompass every member, everything that each department has identified. And so we're sitting there around the table, and we're saying, we got to cut this. We have to reduce that. And so there is already that horse trading going on within the existing identified work, trying to operationalize the strategic plan as articulated from the community. At the same time that we're getting things basically lobbed over the wall because a particular constituent has gone to a member of the board that they met in a certain setting, or they're saying, we don't see why we can't get support to go to this meeting, which we believe would be critical to the outreach on behalf of ICANN. So this is a mechanism to try and capture in a more directed fashion those interests. It will have to come out of someone's hide. And I think one of the mechanisms both to make the process more, I know that we've talked between global partnerships and the at-large community about mechanisms to try and make the meeting representation more visible to you. There's been a conversation about using some sort of an interface on the Confluence Wiki so that you can see what meetings are already being covered, or you can identify. I mean, to be honest, the most effective way to leverage an extremely limited, and it may not look like it's limited, but it is a limited pool when you think about how many people globally you're dealing with, the most effective way to leverage those resources are for you as a group and the active individuals to be identifying the work you're doing where you are, because the most common request is, we need to send 25 people to this meeting that is half a world away. That's an expensive proposition. We might not be able to do 25, or there may already be local representation who can attend. And I realize you know this all. So the more visible we can make to you where there are already meeting coverage, and that you can make to us where you've got people who could go to Eurodig, which is in their own city, walk across town, get us the resources, get us the slide deck, get us this, we can make the presentation.
And we're trying to do that. That's
yes,
right.
No, I understand. Yeah. So, I mean, we're building toward that, and I think
I've got to get this back.
We can try and be more effective in the leveraging at the same time, while also having a new mechanism that captures and maybe makes visible to all the constituencies these kinds of discussions, because we do, understandably, where you sit is where you stand, or where you stand is where you sit, so people understandably see the greatest synergy between perhaps their personal interest and something that's happening, and we're all making trade-offs.
Just for Eric, there are people involved in this process, not all of us, but there are people who have managed budgets sort of within the same order of magnitude as ICANN's, and for a personal viewpoint, you ain't seen constrained budgets if you've never worked for a public university.
I think what's important is, and let's hope the Confluence Wiki gives us the opportunity to do that. One of the things that was mentioned to me at a dinner last night is equally scary and equally useful, because there was an opportunity for ICANN to have a booth at an event, and there's probably not staffing or availability to sort of parachute, lob that over the wall to you. But it's quite likely that one of our ALSs could sit in that booth where ICANN has been offered a free booth and promote ICANN, given the toolkit. So I think there's that sort of two-way thing, but we've got to get a place for these things to be recorded, reported, and indeed budgeted for. Annalisa, I've got to go to Sebastian, and then I'll come back to you. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Thank you. Quite difficult to answer to this discussion where we are. I would like to give some comments. I think if we discuss with the Global Partnership Department, it's because we can find some common ground with other group in ICANN to go to same type of event. And that means that if the goal is to outreach for a RALO, it's maybe not the same if it's to outreach for ICANN. Multiple group. That means that I think it's important to try to see where we need to go, but also what are the country we want to target. And I remind you that we put something into the strategic planning. I am yet willing to see the answer why our proposal was not included in the strategic planning. The summary of the comments is not an answer of what it was done with. And why I am insisting on that is that if at the level of a strategic project was included our suggestion, that means that it could have been an ICANN issue and not anymore just an at-large issue. But it seems that it's not because other constituencies disagree with that proposal, because I never see somebody written something against, but it was a decision taken by, I would say, the staff, because I don't know how to say who could be. Then we will not make the history again, but if I remember well the discussion we had at the last ICANN meeting, we were told that if it's not in a strategic project, it's because it's an operational project, then it, from my understanding, then it will be in the operational project. And it is not. Because what we say two things. One is that we need regional RALO, General Assembly, in the region, then it's not traveling at the other part of the world. But we need also, and that's traveling to the other side of the world, we also will need one day a second summit. Here we are still discussing about the fact to have a General Assembly, how we made outreach in our region, and I think at one day, I'm sorry to say that like that, we will give up. If there is no recognition,
one day you'll give up. Is that what you said?
We will say, okay, you don't give us the tool to work. We because, as I said during the Euro showcase, our leadership in the ILS structure, like in any organization, change. Let's say each 2 years, 4 years. That means that each 2 years or 4 years, we need to rebuild the confidence, rebuild the knowledge with the new leadership of those ILS. It's like when you have newborn member, you need to train them. We need to do the same thing with the ILS's leadership when they change. If we have no opportunity to meet them face to face, we can't just train people by participating to conference call. Then you see, it's a little bit a mess what I am saying, but it's a lot of little things who start to be very, very annoying from the bottom-up process. And once again, it's not in the strategic, it's not in the operational, and now you ask us in one way or another to have a list and maybe even to prioritize within the region. I just want to recall that each RALO was formed by an agreement between some ILSs of the country and ICANN CEO. We signed MOU. Then how you handle all that? We have difficulty, and I have difficulty to understand what we can do to help the process, because I am sure that we are one of the important pieces within ICANN, especially with the affirmation of commitment.
Thank you, Sebastian van der. Grab that microphone. And then Annalisa.
Well, that's not my viewing all those things is not only there is no enough organization right now inside the ICANN among groups that also, together with reduced budgets, it's become a mess because it's a lot of new people come and with little knowledge about what's going on.
So just I wanted to make sure I understand the first sentence. You said there's not organizational structure, or there,
no. I said that with all those new people come with so quickly change. You can see that when you talk with people, they of course they don't have knowledge enough to be in that position yet. So, they're requiring some time and training and so on. And I know that we are facing a reduced budget, so that has become no priority too. So, it's become a snowball, and that is where the opportunity to use the structure of the volunteers become important, because they already are there, they already has the knowledge, they know the values, they know the priorities, they know everything. So if we start to work more close and staff, you know, all the group use more the people around the world, it's cheaper, it's fast, and the result, I'm sure, will be better. So what I see is it's a lack of understanding of the structure of this organization as a role by the administration of ICANN. Because, you know, I can see in Latin America, for instance, since we get together with LACNIC, yeah, and oh, let's see, Brazil has some money, can give some sponsorship for the others and so on. So, we can, if we use more organized that, certainly we're going to have much more representative, etc. Even in this IGF, I'm on the board, but I don't know if someone, we're going to be in the IGF. And we know that we're going to face a very difficult time in Mexico this year in ITU. And this is going to happen in Latin America, in Mexico. So there will be the one IGF regional meeting in Ecuador. Politically, Ecuador is completely against us. So who's going to be as political against us? Yeah, as a country. So what the hell we have planned for that? So it's amazing, you know, disrupt organization right now. It's like that. I talk with some of those people over there that, yeah, we need to go. Yeah, who? Yeah, but people are there.
First of all, we have a very short amount of time left on our agenda.
Just to see that we are, lacking more.
We're being underutilized. We could work a lot smarter and a lot less harder. And I think I just want to allow Mandy to respond to, do we have anyone going to these things? I think she's looking that up.
You're asking about the Vonda raised both the regional IGFs and the Plenipot. Mm. Yes, we have a team. I must, parenthetically, the IGF has gone from once a year to a complete, you can imagine there are now regional and every country has their own. So the proliferation within the IGF space is actually causing us to have to redo internal prioritization. So if there's going to be, if every country in Africa has an IGF and there is an East African and a West African, and they're going to have three or four regional ones, then we start to have to do round robins where this year, and yes, you have to leverage. We actually do have people going to the IGF prep in Ecuador. That's happening in August. LACNIC, APC, Instituto NUPIF have all got people, and we will have at least one staff person attending.
LACNIC
is an organizer.
Please use the microphone if you're going to speak. It's impossible otherwise.
I'm sorry. I was just following up on Mandy's comment that LACNIC is a regional. It's part of the ecosystem, the internet ecosystem. But they have actually been very concerned to have good representation at Quito, and so they have actually gone and looking to sponsor people from NGOs and other groups to go to Quito.
Which brings us back to the shared space and knowledge, the shared understanding, and all of that.
Thank you.
Mandy, you want...
No, and this is the kind of information that we could have in those places, and we've done monthly reports that have the next month's travel, and I know that Heidi and I meet once a week, and one of the conversations is trying to have the projection a year out, so that you see where things are going to cover, keeping in mind that things do change rapidly and things blow up and have to be addressed. And so, yes, so specifically for Quito, yes, we will have people there. Yes, we are working with the local organizers, and clearly you're going to have folks too.
Christopher, go ahead. I give preference to people who haven't spoken first, so Christopher, go ahead.
I think Vanda's got a point here. The fact is that one of the reasons why ICANN is not supported in a wide range of developing countries and by the more governmental-oriented people in the United Nations, one of the reasons, quite frankly, is that it is still perceived as a highly commercial organization and a highly American organization. Now, those of us who know the organization from the inside know that basically it is a much more international organization than an American organization, although this is not yet reflected in the composition of the staff. And the at large constituency organization is your main, and with the exception of some board members, perhaps the only credible advocate of the multi-stakeholder concept in vis-a-vis our critics. And unless you can draw on the resources that you have, and by now, and you can see it around the room, and you can see it in our plenaries. By now, you do have, in nearly all regions, a small but significant group of people who know the story, who can present it well, who could certainly benefit from staff support, in terms of toolkits or even presence if it's essential, but they must be front. I mean, to take an example, I would rather Carlton went to Ecuador to get his fingers burnt in the anti-ICAN argument than the staff went. And I can think of several other examples. Now, I saw my name pop up there on vis-a-vis Eurodig. Eurodig, I went to Eurodig as chairman of a different organization, so I mean, it's just a detail, and I certainly didn't ask GALAC to fund me.
None of those are funded?
No.
And with the exception of one IGF, which ICANN did fund me to attend, my CCTLD sends me to do all of those things.
Well, funnily enough, if asked, I would not have advised people to fund missions to the Eurodig because they're being somewhat disparaged by the European Parliament. But that's another internal European story. But internationally, Vilnius, by all means, put together a strong team led by a board member or two, but with constituency support in the first instance. The people who should be speaking for ICANN in this context are the delegates and volunteers. The staff should be supporting.
Thank you, Christopher. And for the record, of course, we have both Asia-Pacific region and the Afralo region with accepted workshops at Vilnius. We just will be, if we get anybody there, be wearing our CCTLD hats. Go ahead, Annalisa.
Thank you. It sounds like Kevin was talking about a mechanism that has to still be created in order to do this sort of in a fair, equitable way. And just one concept that I'm sure people have thought of, but maybe in hearing this, that it'll jog someone else's memory and mind to think of something else. But it's almost like a little puzzle piece of layers, that like Excel sheets where you've got X and Y, and then there's layers. And so on one hand, you could start out with ICANN's what ICANN stands for in the strategy of what they want to do as reaching out into the world, say, pick one thing, say, outreach. And then at the same time, then we have all these organizations like ALAC, and they do outreach also. And if maybe the budget process included sort of a coding system where in the strategy of the year we were going to do these particular things, A, B, C, and D, then that gets distributed to all the constituencies as a warning of this is what we're looking to fund because of the overall big giant plan. And then the constituencies each have, they know their own priorities and what they stand for and how they best can fulfill their mandates. They can prioritize and they can code their events and the current relevant things like the Ecuador meeting and that kind of thing. And then the overall, I guess, final objective would be to budget, to finance events that are leveraged that satisfy more than one. So that way you've got this instance that Cheryl's talking about where one constituency is working with another on a common thing, but really killing two birds with one stone, which I hate that expression. But I bet we could find things that were satisfying three, you know, at least. And then, you know, stuff like using the local people so we're not doing all the airfare and all that. And then it's satisfying ICANN at the top, too, at the same time. So I just kind of see, you know, the X, the Y, and the hologram version of it, you know. Yeah, yeah. But, again, just...
What's the X? What's the Y? What's the Z in your paradigm?
It would be okay. So you've got ICANN's strategy of what they need to accomplish on a global outreach, and I'm just saying this is just outreach. Obviously, ICANN does lots of things, but yeah. So you would have ICANN's, and is that president's strategy? I'm not even sure where that's written or decided, but so you'd have. ICANN's point of what they have to accomplish. Okay. And then you would have maybe you would have
regions or areas or types of outreach, and that would be the top. And then the depth comes from all of the organizations. So they each submit their version of that X and Y, and you just kind of hold it up to the light, and you can see, wow, you know, this, if we do this one, it's going to satisfy three or four constituencies.
Right. So we actually do have XYZ and we have a four-dimensional accounting system right now.
Yeah.
And that's part of the challenge.
Is it not just accounting? Is it actually
That's in the coding, and the idea is it should affect requisitions, and it should affect decisions on what meetings you go to and everything. The one part we don't do right now is geography. Hmm. From an accounting standpoint, the IRS is saying now we have to report our costs by account by geography, mm-hmm. But we haven't thus far. But do you you're organized geographically, but we're not. Our ICANN's finances. You look at the budget. It mentions we have an office in Sydney and an office in Palo Alto and an office in Brussels, but it doesn't say we have this many resources in Africa and this many. That would be another dimension for us to consider. That's why I was curious if you were saying that there's a desire for that. It's never been asked, but it would be an interesting
idea. The idea,
I guess, one of the dimensions would be policy. So not even a financial dimension, but a policy dimension.
That would be another one. Yeah. So right now, our just so you know, it's functional. So the 15 organizational activities, so GTLDs, IDNs, contractual compliance, security, and then we call it the EAG, the way our organizational structure is, ALAC, SSAC, GNSO, CCSO, GAC.
No, we are not, it's a good idea, Annalise, and because geographically, when we will be international, we're going to have geographical dimension, because there is almost everything, distribution of address, CCs, you know, new TLDs, communities to ally, ALAC, you know, everything will be and all the offices. If you become international, how many people in the staff I have for this region? There is a quick response that you need to have, at least for the GAC. And whatever, we're going to need to start to think geographically, because we need to become international. And this is a lack of movement that we are seeing right now in ICANN, because we started, and the feeling now in the community, we are went back,
and we'd all prefer to go forward. We have just a few minutes, and I do want to encourage it to be just a few minutes. To look towards travel. That's the second note I've had to that. I hear travel. Go ahead, Alan.
All right. Just a couple of comments, some of which I've already said to various people. I found it exceedingly encouraging that one of the items that we had been begging, pleading, and whatever for, bribing for, was to please allow all ALAC members, if they wish to attend the board meeting. And I was delighted to see travel rules saying you should leave on Friday, unless, of course, your flights leave too early, in which case you can leave on Saturday. Thank you. I'd like to see in the future some similar flexibility for people arriving. This time I was very fortunate. I arrived early in the morning, and you very nicely arranged for a hotel room to make sure I didn't have to wait in the lobby for 4 hours. When I arrive at somewhere at midnight, however, you also tell me I should survive on 4 hours sleep after a 36-hour trip and attend the meeting at 8 o'clock the next morning, which I don't find quite as appropriate, and we'll have to work on that end of the trip next time, perhaps. We are still having an awful lot of problems communicating with constituency travel and with BCD, and In my personal case, they offered me a flight. I said no for what I thought were very good reasons, and only a week or so later they came back and said, okay, how about this flight? I never quite found out if they accepted my no, if it was escalated to 14 levels in ICANN first, or what the process was, but someone caved, and I'm grateful. I found out that they foisted the same sort of flight on someone else who didn't have enough energy, I think, to say no to it. But even without those particulars, and we've had plenty of those, we're still having issues with flights that are costing a lot more than they should, with people being forced to take airlines for a saving of $50 or $100, which make the trip significantly more complex for them or not nearly as comfortable, as it were. And somehow we still need to refine this. And it really shouldn't have to be escalated to the CFO for this level. I mean, I don't know what they pay you, Kevin, but it surely is not to handle these kind of things. And to be quite candid, until we get to you, very often we don't get a rational answer. So I don't know how we're going to fix it, but we really got to.
Well, if everything was simple, it would already be done. So it gives us something to do.
Cheryl, in this particular area, there are simple things that never get done. And I speak for someone who has arranged travel from the weirdest places you can imagine to the weirdest places you can imagine for 150 or 200 people.
Yeah,
I understand the complexities.
As do many of our travellers, which is the measure of the frustration. Go ahead, and then I really want to just take a couple of extra minutes for Seth. Go ahead. Sorry, I don't have the room open. If you're waving at me in the Adobe room, I didn't see it. Go ahead, Sebastian.
No, just to remind Kevin that we have a pending issue about do we agree with something you were supposed to say yes, and then you are about my trip. Then,
I assume we'll meet in the hallway afterwards.
I don't know if it's...
Sorry? I assumed that you and I would meet sometime this week.
Because you asked me for... do everybody agree on that? And I was... But okay, when you want.
So let's make sure we... Don't let me forget, Kathy, remind me so I don't forget to talk to Sebastian. But I've made the decision that I'm going to be bold, and after I go back, maybe I'll write it before I go back, that I'm going to recommend internally that we change our process so that we become a get out of the travel administration. I think that's the loud cry. We're working very, very hard and not getting a whole lot of credit, and it doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot better, and it's taking a lot of my time and a huge amount of Steve's time to administer that. And Matt's a great person, and but he's not a professional travel agent for executives, and that's what you need. So I honestly believe that travelers the best decisions are made at the travel level. And but that also means it's a change, and we'd have to put in a control system, and someone would have to do an estimate of what a reasonable amount is, and we'll have to deal with when I tell you that the average fare is $1,200 for this from trip X to Y, and you say no, it can only be done for $1,400, and how are we going to handle that? So, that I'm going to recommend that. So what I was trying to hint at the other day is if I could get you all to change the travel guidelines through the comment process, and I was hoping that you would actually draft something. So I'd still encourage you to do that. I would discourage you to go down the fiduciary challenge route, which is just give us a bucket of money and we'll figure out how to do it, or the credit card that has both uncut credit card. So I discourage.
Just give everyone cut up credit cards.
So I discourage you from doing that. Several of the community members, I guess not in the at large earlier, but several of the community members said they really just want to just give it to the our constituency, and we'll figure out how to do that. I don't think we'll go that path. But if we can agree to travel slots, let us decide. We'll ask for reimbursement. I think that will reduce a lot of headaches.
Go ahead, Christopher, and we just need to be very cautious going down the reimbursement pathway. I think you might need to have local arrangements for best value, because not all of our community members are in a position to buy up front. We are representing from emerging and developing economies. We still have, every single time we arrive, people who are asked for credit cards for the guarantee at the hotel that they're being paid for, and they don't own what that thing is. It's not the only time several of us have ended up at the front desk saying, use mine and just let this person go to bed. we do need to remember that we are from a more privileged position, and as we move to the next billion and the billion and the billion after that, that's not going to be the case. So if we're going to be inclusive, we've got to be careful as we do. Go ahead, Christopher.
Before he goes ahead, there's some details we're going to have to haggle on. That's not today. Will someone who's prettier than me please give this man a hug?
It's your job.
Kathy.
And as a community-based organization, I'm sure a volunteer might want to come forward rather than...
I'm sorry for preempting.
Could I amend my... my suggestion, what I'm going to write. I just want you to let you know what I'm going to write internally. And I really don't own this. I know you think I do. I own the travel guidelines synthesis process like I own the budget. I don't decide that. It's a community synthesis process. That's why I was trying to hint that if you wrote this, it's a lot easier for me to push it forward. So I'm gonna take the initiative, though, from the feedback is the slot concept, so the travel slots and the travel guidelines approaches that. A limit... so that you can't have, you know, there's a certain limit to how much travel support you'd get per meeting, and a suggestion on what a good number to use is, but have reimbursement, have an availability for advances if needed for those who maybe couldn't afford the travel at all, and then have a preferred travel agent as a resource, not as a requirement, so that anybody who wanted to could use BCD or whoever our preferred travel agent, and then they can get that, and then we get the advantage of they'll service them, they'll be held accountable, and they're going to lose business if they're not the best travel agent in the world, and they'll also, you know, be knowledgeable about, you know, the particulars of our constituency. So hopefully they'll win the business each traveler at a time, as opposed to being forced to have people use them that don't want to use them.
That's music to our ears. Go ahead, Christopher.
Well, I think it's all been said, but just to support Cheryl's caution about the problem of funding up front the developing country participants, but also to point out that within Europe, most journeys are still under $100. So And what you've described is the degree of overhead and administration on top of that very small expense, which is not justified. It doesn't make sense. And for below a certain amount, I mean, when I travel between European cities on behalf of other organizations, if I'm reimbursed, that's another matter. But the total budget, including the hotel, is for a three-day meeting can be... well, less than $300. So if you're going to... what you've described is an administrative overhead, which is...
it's ridiculous,
which
yeah.
is not justified for that kind of expenditure.
I hope I'm on the
Sorry,
record.
Sorry, Cheryl, so. I think I've repeated...
Christopher, I wanted to understand your first point. You're saying that you... what was the thing about the advance that you said you disagree or agree with that? Agree, okay. That's important, okay.
Yeah, it's very important. One of the things I would like to just take a moment of is I have no idea, Seth, what time it is in New York, but you're a hero for being on the line. Have you snored off, got a coffee, or gone home?
No, I'm here, Cheryl.
Ah, brilliant, brilliant. We have in front of us the At-Large Improvements Implementation Project Plan, and yes, this is your staff that you met last meeting.
Hi, Seth.
Hi.
While you have Kevin in the room, is there anything you'd like to take us to? I've put up on the screen the ALAC At Large Improvements Implementation Project Plan, dated 7 June 2010. Take us perhaps to wherever you'd like us to look, and short and sweet would be appreciated.
Certainly. Thank you, Cheryl. I think I would just like to point out, probably given Kevin's presence with us, the short budgetary section that starts on the top of, on the bottom of page 3, where we point out that the $50,000 allocated in the FY11 budget, the ALAC decided, is hopefully and likely going to cover the explicit at-large costs that are going to be incurred for the improvements project. In the event that they don't, priority, some selections will have to be made regarding the priorities of items and what can be put over to the FY12 budget. But of those explicit costs that we expect to incur, that are expected to incur by the ALAC in FY11, basically involve four of the recommendations, four of the 13 recommendations. Certainly a major one, relatively speaking, is recommendation 4, which speaks to ALS education and engagement, for which a lot of materials are going to have to be developed, and the initial development will be one area that will likely incur some expenses. This is, we're talking about items such as brochures, podcasts, et cetera, online videos. And related to that is also same type of development of materials for soliciting and working toward getting further input from consumer representative groups, which is recommendation 12. The other two recommendations that are expected to incur some specific at-large costs are recommendation 7, the choice of communication and collaborative tools, and similarly, recommendation 9, the improvement of translation and interpretation processes. For those, the ALAC expects that there'll be some necessary trials and evaluations of various technologies regarding communication, collaboration, various services regarding translation and interpretation. So those are the main costs that that the ALAC is predicting, and I think actually, short of going into any more, and probably at this point unnecessary detail, that's probably all that I need to say, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Seth. And I think what's important is that whilst this hard-wrought, community-driven, consensus-built information and agreements and established norms of what we think will or will not be costly in any way, shape or form to ICANN has gone to the Structural Improvements Committee and by definition to the board in the fullness of time. I very much doubt, Kevin, that you've seen it, and yet this is in your bailiwick, that I want to make sure that, has Kevin actually seen this part of our documentation? Because I think what often happens is it fractionates. We produce this, our community just says it to the thing that is ICANN, and the magic doesn't happen to make sure everybody gets to see it. But what we've done, just so everyone understands, is we have assumed that the cost attributed to us for things like education outreach would be up to and including the first ready-to-run final draft, in other words, final to go to print. So costs for getting publications or webinars done the first time. It should be then up to, you know, whoever's using them to then have it in their cost centre in the future. That for an at-large improvements costing, it's just the first one. Now, I think we may need to talk more on this. And if that's the case, then we need to set that up in the not-too-distant future, because we now need to make a lot of these implementations happen.
Okay, so I'm
microphone.
Still a little confused, I guess. So maybe it's Seth needs to, maybe I just need to do an offline conversation with Heidi and Matthias and Seth. So I think this is in sort of the general realm of what we talked about, I don't know, two meetings ago when we did the at-large review and Tricia and, right?
This is a result from this year.
And so we were going to come up with, here's, and you were saying, how much budget do we have? How much budget do we have? And I kept on saying, well, what do you need? What do you need? And we had that kind of fun back and forth. so then I thought we were going to come up with in Nairobi, in the discussion when I met Seth, was the list. Here's the activities, and here's the cost, the travel, consulting, communication, et cetera, a list. And then presumably there'd be a kind of an estimate of prioritization of that. Is that, did I miss something? Is that what we were looking for?
Well,
it looks like there's a lot of good information here.
We have any number of lists that clearly need to be looked at carefully. The staff will be bringing things up, but Vanda would like to speak to this matter. Go ahead.
It's exactly some kind of answer. Just first of all, we just vote today, and this is going to be reduced to a kind of resume that the CEO is supposed to make, so one of you we're going to make. So it's quite important that this resume really represents what is there, because once you, we're going to vote and approve next meeting this resume. Yeah, because it's already what we approved today is, guys, we are asking the CEO to make a resume to us to approve. So it's quite important that inside this resume will be in some way attached to all the plan, because it's needed, and the resume represents really what is there, because or we're going to make a mess of everything that we have done in this improvement process.
Sorry, so I'm not, when you say resume, you mean
resume? Yes, in the resume. Someone, one of you, will write
like
something
a description
to be approved. Yeah,
summary.
A summary.
Okay, so the point is that the board will vote on a plan, and there will be a cost associated with that plan.
Certainly.
And do we know what that is? Do we know what the costs are?
Would be,
okay.
Of course, a lot of those.
And that's what
Seth,
I think Seth, I thought, and I apologize that I'm not closer to this. I thought Seth's, one of Seth's tasks was to actually come up with the total cost of that, and that would be part of the decision making on the, how fast we implement, how extensive do we implement the at-large improvements.
Heidi has an intervention.
Yeah, I asked legal about that. Actually, the XCOM and Seth and myself worked on this, a considerable amount of time, and we spoke to legal about this, and they thought they were of the opinion that the board would not require such detail on these line items. I mean, I do remember your talk about that. In fact, this format, this project plan, is a revised project plan that came with the directions of the chair of the SIC. So those, Matthias, if you could scroll up. You can scroll up, and those points there were exactly what the chair of the SIC requested to be put into this, or the outline of that project plan.
There's budgetary implications. Can you hold? Don't move it. Okay, allocates 50,000 of the implementation of the ALAC at large improvements. Yeah, that was just a rough estimate. I remember being there at that time. What I thought was going to happen was 5,000 for this, $600 for this. And you're saying they don't
want
that.
That's what you're saying. That, yes, I do remember that discussion in Nairobi.
But you're saying legal
said
no.
Legal said that at this point, that,
is that
this
Amy
project
or Tom?
Plan, it was Smith that the board did not require this kind of detail.
Okay, so let's take that offline. I have a feeling that the Finance Committee would have a difference of opinion, but we'll let's work that through.
It would be delightful to have more opportunity to work things through. And I think that's pretty much what we're aiming for today. There's always a wealth of information I think you leave with, and I know Mandy is filling up notebooks just devoted to us now, which is just great, except you need a purple cover. It's ALAC is purple.
Okay. So how about a purple little flag?
That's a start. That's a start. Yes, you know, we need the library of purple. But we are at the edges. We respond to what we are told, and then we don't get told when the requirements change, and that has to change, because that builds the frustration, that builds the confusion. And when we work with people, when we work with Mandy, when we work with you, we find more mutuality and potential than we believe possible. And I think these exercises somehow need to be done little and often and less painfully. And I think that's why putting into the new mechanism of the strategic planning budget the way you're going to have the ACSO people involved earlier on is a light at the end of the tunnel, which we hope is not an oncoming train.
So thank you for that. I appreciate that. So we'll talk offline about the specifics on that with Heidi and Sam or whoever it is. But I really would like to make a request to have your help on how I can deliver the September interaction with the SOs and ACs. So that you understand. So I have a commitment that by December, I told you about the July and August commitment for the FY11 as sort of a trial balloon. But I'd really like your help on not just ALAC, but or at large in ALAC, but certainly start there. But I'd like your help on it's a request, personal request. Your help on ideas on how to engage the SOs and ACs in a productive way, starting in September. I don't know if that means an open cloud call, conference call that leads to, or you know, do I the issue of subgroups within.
We've got a budget and finance subcommittee. We've got a duly organised budget and finance subcommittee, which is fully regionally representative, and it's their job to make sure they bring the regional view in and out. So just need to work with them.
Okay, so it's that, which is great. But I'm also interested in how do we, you know, if Steve as SAC chair wants X and you want Why or
well, there's
and
this,
how do I do with RSAC, which I've never met the chair.
There's this wonderful thing called the Support Organisation and Advisory Committee Chairs List. Naughty little people that we were several years ago, we started talking to each other and then we put some emails together and then all hell broke loose and there you go. It's a good thing in my view. On that now is the chairs and vice chairs of all the ACs and SOs, including ASO. And so there is a conduit to get to us all. And we can sort it out. That's why we talk to each other.
Right. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, one and all. I don't know why it is that as soon as you mention money, things tend to become far more important and take far more time than anyone ever expects it to. But I guess that's your world, isn't it? You just keep... It's like Groundhog Day for you. You just go from one to the other and say the same thing again and again. One day I hope you wake up and I hope it's not a nightmare that you walk into, that you go, wow, this is good, we've got somewhere.
And the ice sculpture will be flawless.
I just want to comment that I find this to be refreshing in contrast to that letter that we had so much fun taking apart a little while ago, that there really is now a means, and speaking as a member of the budget committee that Cheryl mentioned, that there really is a conduit and a way of starting to address some of these things and getting something done. I'm very encouraged.
You can rebut us both at the same time.
Be my pleasure.
There may well be not one size that fits all, but at least, but if you know, I'm not even sure what question you asked about whether honestly about whether in September we're looking at how to gather information about what we need in terms of budget or how to present it. So, if one asks the question, chances are
some innovative people will come up with some answers, maybe one, maybe multiple ones, depending on the situation may well be different. I mean, ESSAC, for instance, already has a budget. I don't know how where you present it and where you hide it away in a little pocket of the overall budget. They actually have an employee, so somewhere that's budgeted. The situations are different, but I think we can do innovative things if we understand what the problem is and what the target is. You know, trust us enough to make a mess of it. We'll try not to.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I just remember there's something that Annalisa said earlier about we're now going to start with addressing hitting priority issues with this new process. So I want to make it really clear so it's not so I don't miscommunicate. We've always had that. So that's always been the intention, and the challenge has been we have this process by which staff works together and puts together a framework, and then we get feedback and comments, and we synthesize that, and we have a draft document, and then the draft documents get synthesized and feedback, and we have this final June meeting where there's a lot of discussions and feedback, and then we have a final budget that's submitted. So that's the process. 5.5 months. Most organizations, 5.5 months to have a communications, that much communications and the pages analysis we do, they would say that's a pretty robust consensus-based budget. It's not at ICANN. We realize that. We've gotten that message loud and clear. So by what we've done is we've said, okay, instead of having it a 4.5 month process starting in the March or, in this year was the Nairobi meeting, the March-February meeting, instead we're going to move that back even further than the Cartagena meeting, the AGM meeting. We're going to move it back to September. We're going to start the discussion with the SOs and ACs and say, we want to make sure that you're helping us do the big long, big dial prioritizations. And I'm sure the first question is going to come out as we need more information. And my next question is going to be, what information do you need? And so that I want to. That's what I want to do is plug that in, so we don't have, miscommunication going on for 4 months, and we're still in the same place in February. We address that in September as effectively as possible. Does that make sense? Yeah. That.
Yeah,
that Kevin, that's a great analogy. The big dial picture, where you've got them participating initially, and everybody is seeing. It's not about me, my group. It's about the big picture, and then and they're all contributing to the same overall result. Yeah, that's great.
Well, may I make
please go ahead. I was just going to call for last.
Just around the table complaint, but I would like to state that Doug and you have made a lot of difference.
Impact.
And we had nothing.
Yeah.
And we have a quite good one. Needs improvement, but you have done, very good job. Thank you.
For the record, this is a standing ovation to Kevin that he's got to pay that to Doug.
And I'm going to have to hug him if no one else does.
I'm really glad Kathy came. Thank you very much.
Thank you one and all. And we can thank the phone bridge and thank the interpreters. Thank you all.